Good morning. What a wonderful looking group y'all are. Ready to go. Every smiling face, every warm heart. Looks like we're ready to worship. Appreciate each one that's here. Glad to have our visitors. We want you to take part in the service. We will be singing from the Yellow Book, as we call it, Songs to Remember. And we want you to join in the first song, A Good Testimony, Living by Faith, number 274. 274. Sounding good. Turn over to number 180, one of my favorites. What a day that will be. 180.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Brother Sam. Thank you, Sister. Rachel. Don't you hate being old sometimes? Gotta love old folks, though, ain't you? That's what George Aunt used to say. He said, you just love old folks. Old people, I think, is the way he said. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out this morning. We've had some that's traveling. We're glad to see them. Only one I'm going to mention is good to see Brother Stuart and Sister Pauline back. They was here Wednesday night, but they've been taking care of sick in New Mexico and have been gone now, I guess, for better than 2 months. And we are glad that they're back with us today. It's good to see everybody out, though, this morning. We appreciate each and every one that's had that's come out to be with us this morning, and I hope and pray that you will get a blessing out of being in God's house today. The song service has been good. I'm like Brother Sam. I like that last song. What a day that will be. I love to think about how wonderful that day will be. I know it will not be wonderful for everybody, but for us that are saved, it's going to be a wonderful time. Ever so often, you'll hear somebody make the statement, well, I wonder how it'd be in that day. No, they'll make that kind of a statement. They'll say, well, when the trumpet sounds, what will you do? You know, a lot of people, they make it sound like that when the trumpet sounds and the Lord is coming back, that they're going to kind of look around and just wonder what that is. The only ones that might, and I'm going to say might, think that will be those that are unsaved. Every one of us that has been saved by the grace of God, as soon as we hear it, there'll be no question on our hearts and our minds as to what is going on. Hey, it's time. It's like when we was playing basketball in school, when they rang that buzzer, and they had a loud buzzer at Pledge Shade School. I mean, it was a loud honk is basically what I would call it. But I knew when they rang that buzzer, I knew what it was time for. It was time to get out there and play ball. And so that was what we did. And I think it'll be that way when the Lord comes back. We're going to know exactly what it is. I'm going to be honest with you. I said the only ones that might not know, and I said might, I believe the sinners will know. It's going to come to their mind. It's going to come to their mind plainly. It's too late now. You had your chance. It's time now, and you're not ready. And that's one thing that I would want everyone that's not saved in our presence today. That's one thing that I would ask you to make sure of today is when the Lord is dealing with you today, you go to the Lord right now. And you pray. You don't have to wait for an invitation. You don't have to wait for me. You don't have to wait for your mother or daddy or anybody else that's around. You don't have to wait for them. You start talking to God about it and you start praying and asking God to save your soul. And if you'll do it from the very depths of your heart, not just saying, Lord, just save me. They say I need it, you know. No, don't do it that way. You got to want it. You need it more than anything else. When you're like that, the Lord will save your soul and you'll know that you're saved. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I hope everybody is feeling well and had a good week. We want to continue on with our service. We always do a children's church, and Brother Tom will have that privilege today. Brother Tom, if you will.
All right, let's go, everybody. Let's go on this side today, far side. You can go this way. That's right. How's it going, everybody? Hey, Luke. Come on, guys, have a seat. I was having printer problems, so I had to use my phone. Y'all ever have printer problems? You will. If the Lord delays his coming, you will. All right, is everybody back in school yet? Did you go back this week? A lot of you? First day back? How's that going? Womp womp. I see a lot of enthusiasm up here today. All right, everybody stand up. Y'all are asleep. Everybody stand up. We're going to do it standing up today. How's that? Okay, so I know everybody's like down in the dumps because you had to go back to school this week. So I thought we might try to do something a little more fun than we normally do. So I have a trivia game for us today. It's called Who Said It? Bible Edition. All right? So here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read a quote from the Bible that somebody in the Bible said, and it's written in the scripture, and then you tell me who said it. Okay? And first, we'll just try to let people guess, and then if everybody's stumped, I'll give you three choices. So it'll be multiple choice, which means you can always guess C, right? When in doubt, guess C? All right. So some are easy, some are a little bit harder, but this is just supposed to be a little bit of fun today, okay? All right, first one. Who said it? Let my people go. Moses, winner. Good job. All right, number two. This one's a little bit harder. Who said it? Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Gabriel, good job. I didn't even need the multiple choice. You guys are knocking this out of the park. Okay. Another famous quote from the New Testament. Who said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world"? All right. Was it A, Peter, B, John the Baptist, or C, Andrew? Any guesses? John the Baptist. Good job. That was it. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All right, going back to the Old Testament now. There's a context clue in this one that should give it away. Who said it? God hath shut the lion's mouth. Who is it? Daniel, you got it. Good job. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? God hath shut the lion's mouth. Okay. This is one of the first things ever said. Who said it? Let there be light. God, that's right. That's right. God said it. All right, we have two more, and then I'll let you go. Okay. I'll give you a hint. This is in the Old Testament. Old Testament. Who said, salvation is of the Lord? Oh, not it. All right, multiple choice. Was it A, Jonah, B, Micah, or C, Nahum? Salvation is of the Lord. Who got eaten by a giant fish? Jonah, that's it. Okay, and this is the last one, and one of my favorites on the list. Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. Jesus, one of my favorite quotes in the whole Bible. Well, it's good to see you all today. I'm glad school's not going too bad. You all did a great job. You could probably teach me something someday. So, it's good to see y'all. That's all.
Good job, kids. a real good job by them. Most of the time when we the kids answer questions, they get prizes, don't they?
Come back next week.
We appreciate the kids coming up. Appreciate Brother Tom doing Children's Church. And it's good to do something just a little different from time to time. And sometimes by answering questions, they learn more than by us talking to them sometimes. And I'm glad for that. It is good to see each and every one out today. We're glad to have anybody that's visiting with us today. We thank you for being here. And I hope and pray that God will bless you for being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anyone have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Let's do not forget our lost ones. We were talking in Sunday school this morning, and that seemed to be a great emphasis in our Sunday school prayer request time was for the lost. Yes, there are still those that are sick, and they need our prayers, and we do want to continue to pray for them. But the ones that are in the greatest danger is those that are sin sick. And they are not saved by the grace of God. And they've not had their sins forgiven. And that ought to be our greatest emphasis is upon those that are not saved. So let's keep them on our hearts today. Anybody else have a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, help. Lord, help. Oh, me. Lord, help. Let's do remember this gentleman in our prayers as far as cancer is concerned. Somebody else have a prayer request upon your heart this morning? Just remember Mr. Bobby with his cancer. Somebody else? As I said, we had several prayer requests this morning, and we want you to remember them in your prayers. There's several in your bulletins already this morning also. Do remember Sister Mona. She has been sick here for the last few weeks, and she's still doing the bulletin, in which I'm thankful that she's able to do that, but we need to remember her in our prayers also. She's been unable to be here a couple weeks, so let's do remember her also. Somebody else. Go ahead, Brother Randall. Oh, yeah. Let's remember Brother Randall's son and his sickness in our prayers today. Somebody else. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I hope that you'll pray for me, that I'll say what the Lord would have me to say in this service today and do what the Lord would have me to do. But I want you to do what the Lord puts upon your heart also. So if it's for you today to speak up for God, to testify for Him, I pray you'll do that today. And it may be something simple, just saying, thank the Lord for saving my soul. It might be something a little bit more. I need to join the church, or I need to do this for the Lord. You follow the Lord today in this service, and let's ask the Lord to help us today. I do want to add one other thing. I meant to say this. It's been mentioned that the kids are going back to school. Some of our college-age kids are going back also. I think Sean said today was his last. He was going back, going to school this weekend. He's going down in Florida to, I believe it's Emory Riddle. And we need to remember him as well as there are other ones that will be going. I'm not sure when Abby will be going. But next week also, we need to be praying for her also. But our high school kids, our grade school kids, all of these need our prayers in this time. It was mentioned this morning that it's a hard thing for our kids to be back in school and deal with the things they deal with. Brother Caden, I want to mention him. Brother Caden said he was dreading going back to school this time. Him as a God-called preacher, there's a standard. But the people he deals with are not going to accept that. I'm going to say it that way. I dealt with that a long time ago. Y'all pray for him. He needs the Lord's strength as well as the others. So anybody else got a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Brother Sean, will you lead us in prayer?
To our song service number 152. I appreciate the children's sermon. Did anybody score below 75% on that? I like those type of lessons. 152, I'm going to a city. Y'all are sounding so good. Let's do one that I haven't heard in a while, I don't believe. Number 102. 102. I know who holds tomorrow. Are you ready? All right. Let's do a couple verses of number 7. One of my favorites. I think they're all my favorites, but I like this one. First and last verse, number 7.
Thank you.
Good morning to everybody again. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? Let's pray for one another. That if the Lord impresses, and I'm of the opinion that the Lord impresses somebody every Sunday. I am. And somebody besides a preacher, that is. And if he impresses upon you to do something for him, you follow the Lord. And you may, like I said, you may have the idea that maybe you just can't do it. If you ask him for strength, he'll give you the strength to do it. So you follow the Lord today is what I asked you to do. Anybody got anything on your heart? Turn with me, if you would, to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. This is a chapter in the Bible that describes what Jesus goes through as far as his death is concerned. Actually, you can go through his life, his death, and his resurrection all in these 12 verses. That's what I was thinking it was, but I thought I better look and make sure before I said something. But these verses talk about his life, his death, and his resurrection. And so this morning, we're not going to try to tackle all 12 verses. I want us to look at verse 10 today for a reading lesson. And it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands." And that's reading verse 10 of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah this morning for our reading lesson. I asked you to pray for me this morning. I had a distinct thought, and then last night it kind of changed just a little. This morning it seems to go back, so we'll just see what the Lord intends for us today out of this verse here today. I want to read this again. This verse has several pronouns in it. A pronoun is a word that takes the place of a name. So that we will know a little bit better what is being said here in this, I want to fill in the blanks of the pronouns. You know, a lot of times when we see a pronoun, we're not really sure what is being said or who it's talking about. So I figure about everybody's got it in your mind what these pronouns mean, but let's just make sure, okay? 10th verse again. "Yet it pleased the Lord." That Lord there is the word Jehovah, and it is actually speaking about God the Father. However, it can be speaking about Jesus, the Son of God, and about the Holy Spirit. But here it is talking about God the Father is what it says. "To bruise him," that's Jesus himself, "he hath put him," Jesus, "to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." That is, his soul would be Jesus, is who that's talking about. "He," that's God, "shall see his seed, and he," God, "shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord," God the Father, "shall prosper in Jesus' hands." That adds just a little bit different meaning to the verse, doesn't it? I want you to notice, though, there was one pronoun that I did not change that time. Did you notice it? It says, when thou shalt make his soul. Thou is a pronoun. It's a word that we do not use anymore. Now, there is three different ways that many people believe that this thou is used to say what individual is being talked about here. The first one, and probably the most popular one that is used, is thou God the Father. God the Father bruised him, is basically what they say. And it's true that God put him in the place, God the Father did put Jesus in the place where that he could be bruised. I tend to think that the bruising was much more than our bruising. Brother David fell the other day, and he talked about being black and blue from the bruising that he suffered. And that is a type of bruise. I'm one that right now I don't bruise real bad, but when I get a pretty good hit, I get a good bruise out of that. This bruise here is actually, the word means crushed, is what it is. Now, if you'll remember back in the book of Genesis, when God was, after Adam and Eve had transgressed the law of God, and Adam turned around and he blamed Eve, and then Eve blamed the serpent, and then God handed out his judgment. He said unto Satan, he said, you're going to eat the dust of the earth. You're going to crawl on your belly. And he said unto the woman that out of the pains of labor, she would bear children, is what the scripture says about her. But he said, through your seed, he said, Satan will bruise his heel, but you will, he said, he will bruise your head. Uses the same word both times. Satan did bruise the heel of Jesus. He did crush Jesus to a certain extent, but this thou here is not Satan himself. It wasn't Satan that actually put him on the cross. You could say it was him in the fact that he led Pilate, who had judged Jesus and found no fault in him. You could say that Satan, through the hand of Pilate, he led Pilate to the place where that he would crucify him. You could say that Satan caused Jesus to go to the cross because of the people, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees that all led him up to be judged. And even at the judgment of Jesus, when that Pilate said, what do you want me to do with him? Well, they hollered out, crucify him. You could say Satan was the one to blame for all of this. Now, one thing I'll bring up, several years ago, there was a movie made by Mel Gibson, and in that, when that movie came out, there was a lot of people that got upset about that movie because a lot of people said, well, you're blaming the Roman soldiers for putting Jesus to death. A lot of the Jewish people got upset because they said, you're blaming the Jews for the death of Jesus. In this scripture, you have who is to be blamed. You can say that God put him there. You can say that Satan put him there. But I'm going to say today, the one that put... the one that caused Jesus to be crushed was me. And truthfully, you. That's going to be the bulk of this message today, but I want us to look at this verse very closely today. I want us to think about the fact that we were the cause of all of this anguish, the fact that he was crushed upon the cross of Calvary. I want us to think about that today. And if you have not been saved today, you are to blame for this. You know, in this study, I looked up the word blame because that's what we as people did. I said Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And blame is to pass off a judgment. It is to pass off something that was done in a way. It is a conviction of something. But I want us to think about today, we are to blame for the death of Christ. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Before the beginning of time, before that there was anything made, God looked down upon what he was fixing to do. He looked and he knew how where man was going, the man that he was going to create. He knew within himself, and you can call this a foreknowledge of all of this, he knew that man would sin. So God created a plan of salvation before that there was ever a man made that would even sin. God had a way of saying, this is your way back to me when that you do sin. That was what God was wanting to do. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. Now, in our terms today, grief is something of a great sorrow. Most of the time, a great grief comes at the loss of a love. I've seen times where the individuals, and I'm going to use the term for our young people, boys and girls, they have a fall-in-love moment with a boy or a girl one, and they think that they are the best thing in the world. Most of us as parents get to a place where that we look at it and we say, yep, this too shall pass. We understand that these kinds of relationships, they will pass off. But when that our children, when that person breaks up with them, how many of us as parents has went through that time and we had to console a child that was so brokenhearted at that moment in time? We call that a time of grief. Most of the time we consider grief is at the point of death is what we do. When we lose a loved one, that is a grief that we suffer. And we take that very hard. We see the loss of our loved one and we're not able to talk or we're not able to visit with them anymore. And because of that, we grieve their loss. We are saddened by the very thoughts of that loss. But in this case, when he said it and he had put him to grief, it means to a great sorrow in this place. Now, I want you to consider who Jesus was before this time. Jesus was God. Jesus was in the presence of God, of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit. He had all power. You could say he had all riches. He had all the glory that there was in that day. He had all of that in his presence. How many times have you saw somebody who seemed to have everything? You know, they had the beautiful wife. They had the beautiful car. They had the big house. They had the great job. And all of a sudden, all of that went away. They began to be very sad at that. Many of them will get to a place in which that they are so troubled that they don't have anywhere else to turn. But in this day, Jesus had, and I'm going to use the word, volunteered for a job. And that volunteering for a job meant that he would leave his heavenly home. It was in the fullness of time, the scripture said, that Jesus left heaven. It was in the best time, the only time that he could come. Some people would say, well, it was probably about midway. No, not necessarily midway, but it was the right time. It was when that God had designated that he would leave the portals of glory. You know, in most of us, when that we leave home that time, there is a sadness. I remember very well when that we left here in Tennessee and we moved to Florida. I remember the grief, the sorrow that was in us because that we had left our friends, our loved ones, and we'd left everything that we had. I saw my children grieve at those things, and we were just had that sorrow. See, Jesus knew that grief. He knew that sorrow of leaving his heavenly home. He knew the fact that he left the side of his heavenly Father to do that. So he was grieved in this, but God was pleased in this, that he had put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, I said a while ago, I want us to look particularly at this. Because in the ways that God showed the world and the Jewish people in particular that he was going to give his son was that he caused them to do an offering for sin. Now, in the days of Abraham, the Bible said that God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, take thy son and you take him to a certain place and there you will sacrifice him to me. And what that meant was that he would take his only son and he would take him to a particular place. And when he got there, he would prepare an altar that God had designated him to do. And then he would lay his son up on that altar and give his life for an offering. God never, ever wanted us to sacrifice our children. But he wanted Abraham to show his faith. Abraham had already been saved at this time. But what God did with Abraham in this instance was show the world that he was giving an offering unto us for our sins. That he wanted them to see how that one would die for an offering unto them. Now, when Moses came along, and I'm going to move on through this pretty quickly, but when Moses came along, God instructed the children of Israel how that they were to do an offering for sin. And I'm not going to go into the details of it, but it involved taking a lamb or a sheep or a goat or a bullock, as it says, and it could actually be turtle doves or it could be pigeons that they would give. But what would happen was that they would take it to a particular place. And what the scripture said when they carried it inside the tabernacle, that animal had to die. He gave his blood. It said that the blood was poured at the base of the altar. And then the rest was taken into the sanctuary and was sprinkled there. It was a sin offering for that individual's sins. They did that daily. As you know, each and every one of us sin from day to day. My friends, today, if we say that we have no sin, we are a liar. And the truth is not in us, is what James said about us. I want you to know today that if you've not been saved by the grace of God, you are a sinner. And you need to come to God and present an offering unto the Lord. He said here, thou when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, yes, God sent him there. Yes, the devil sent him there. But he went on account of love is what he did. For when Jesus went to the cross, he told Pilate beforehand, do you not know? He said, do you not know that I could call 12 legions of angels? It wasn't Pilate he told that to, it was Peter. He said, do you not know I could call 12 legions of angels and they would deliver me? He could have done that any point of time in there. What held him to the cross? There was two things. A lot of people would say one thing. They'd say love. But you know, the other thing was held him there was our sin. He knew that his love was great. But he knew the stipulation that God had given and that there had to be one that would give their life in the place of the sinner. That was the purpose of that sacrifice that Moses did. Those animals died in the place of those people. But those animals, not by the blood of bulls and goats is what it says in the Hebrew letter. It wasn't by the blood of the bulls and goats that they were cleansed of their sin, but we know today that they were a like figure. A like figure in this, that they were to look unto the one that was coming. All of the people of the Jewish nation knew about a Messiah that was coming. I'm going to say, I believe it was more than just the Jewish nation. When that Jesus was born, were not there three wise men that come that we talk about? And they came from the east, as it says. And they said, we're searching for the King of all kings. We're searching for the King of the Jews. They knew about this Messiah that was coming. The people where the woman at the well was, they were a people that when they were in that place, they didn't serve the Lord completely, but they knew there was a Messiah coming, didn't they? They knew that there was a Messiah coming. They didn't completely serve God in the correct way, but they knew the Messiah was coming. I believe that the greater portion of the world in that day knew that there was a promise of God. They'd heard about it just like the world today has heard about him. Now, this offering that was made was the Son of God. And we helped put him up on that cross. We put him into a place where that in his grief and his sorrow and his pains that was there. You go back up and read the rest of this chapter. I'm not going to today. But I want you to know that he did all of this for one reason. I'm going to get you verse 6 out of this chapter. And he says in verse 6, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity, sin of us all. My goodness, my friends today, I want us to think about that. The Lord have laid on him all of our sin. Look back with us again. He said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You know, in the days of Moses, when a person brought a lamb or a bullock, one to be a sacrifice, you know what he had to do? He had to lay his hand on his head. You know what the purpose of that was? That was a symbol of transferring their sin to that animal. We didn't lay our hands on Jesus. God sent him there, and he did it willingly. When that animal was sacrificed in that day, it was for that individual. Listen to what he says. Now God, he shall see his seed. I want you to think about this today. Most of the time when we think about seed, we think about the corn crops or the bean crops that are out here. And we think about the fruit of those things. And that's what I want you to think about. It's a fruit of that individual. Many people would say this seed right here is looking down at us at this time, and all of us that would be saved. But what God looked at was what was going on with Jesus on the cross. God looked at his son dying. You remember from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness upon all the earth, the scripture said. And it says at about the end of that, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I believe God was right there. But in that moment in time, Jesus was all alone, is the way he felt. He was all alone holding our sins, as I read out of the sixth verse. And as he held that sin up on him for those 3 hours, he hung there hanging on the cross, and God witnessed the sin upon his son. If you will, go with me too for just a minute. Fine. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'll give you just a moment to get there. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Verse 21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. That's what God witnessed. He saw that seed. He saw that fruit that Jesus laid down. Jesus told the people on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, by their fruits ye shall know them. When Jesus was there and his seed was laid out in front of God, he saw the fruits of Jesus and he knew what he'd done. He knew that he was being that sacrifice for you and I, is what it says that he was. But he said, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He said that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way that we can ever be saved, is just through the very fact that he became sin for us. Remember what I said they did for that animal? They placed their hand upon that head, and it meant that their sins was being transferred to that animal. And it was slain for their sin. Jesus had our sin upon him. What he says after the see his seed, he shall prolong his days. The actual thing that Jesus did while he was on the cross, yes, he bore our sins. Yes, he took all of that upon him. But what did he do? He died with our sins, didn't he? And when he died there with our sins, it says here that God shall prolong his days. After 3 days and 3 nights, what the scripture said was that Jesus came alive, that he was resurrected in that day. His days were prolonged in that day, it says. And then it says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. Now, when you think about a pleasure, we think about something good. But the term used to be, and we still use it occasionally, if it may please you, would you do this for me? And when Jesus went to the cross, he went there to please his heavenly Father. But there was a reason that he went there, and that was to save us. Now, in 1 Timothy, in the second chapter, one of my favorite verses would have to be this verse here. In the fourth verse, God said, who will have all men to be saved? All of this was done to please God, that all men might be saved. It's God's will that that one might be saved. Now, I didn't point at every one of them. I didn't point at anybody in general. But I want you to know something. It was his will. It was his desire that you might be saved. That's why he sent his son down here. It was his pleasure in that day. It said once again, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I want you to get this in his hand part. Without Jesus dying on the cross, none of us could be saved. Without Jesus dying on the cross, and then God's Holy Spirit dealing with us and talking to us within ourselves, leading us to the Lord, we could not be saved. That's the grace of God that we talked about Wednesday night. How that the grace of God draws us to him, that we might be saved. But he said, in his hands it will prosper. When one of those lambs died, it died for one person. We'd say, well, that's not a very good prospering thing. But when Jesus died, it was not only for me, it's not only for you, but for everybody else in this building. And not only for everybody else in this building, but everybody else that's in a church building today. And not only for those that are just in the church buildings today, but every one of those that's outside of the church buildings today. Not only just here in the United States, but all over the world. He died for every single one that would believe. Is that not what Jesus told Nicodemus? That he would die for all, every single one of them? I pray today that if you're a sinner here today, that you'll claim, I want you to get something here, that you'll claim that sacrifice. You've got to get to a point where you, Lord, you died for me. Lord, let me give my life for you. Oh, I'm not talking about going to church every Sunday. You ought to, but I'm not talking about that. I want you to give your life. Be willing to die. I'm not talking about going off into a far country and preaching to people and being a missionary. I'm not talking about giving your life that way. I'm talking about giving everything about you to him. What Jesus said was, except you forsake father, mother, houses, land, and yea, your own life, ye shall in no wise be saved. You got to give it all up. And to do that, you got to put it in the hands of Jesus. And you got to claim that sacrifice that he did. What do I mean, claim it? As long as you stay a sinner, sinner friend, as long as you stay a sinner today, you're not believing that he died for you. That's plain. You don't believe he died for you. As long as you do not claim that, you'll stay a sinner. But you've got to realize today, Jesus died for you that you might be saved. He went through all the grief, all the pain, all the agony of dying there on the cross that you might be saved. And it's just for you that he did it. Yeah, it's just you. Brother Sam, that's my message today. If you're here today and lost and you've never claimed that sacrifice that was made for you, you need to turn to the Lord today. Bible tells you to repent. That means turning to him. Not turning away from your wicked ways here upon this earth. It means turn to him. Yeah, it's good to give up those wicked ways that you have, but you've got to turn to him and turn to Jesus for the saving of your soul while we stand and sing.
Number five. Number five.